And, of course, we have one more lesson in our Team Kid curriculum for this year, Pastor Eric. I'm missing a page of my notes, amen. Hopefully I can remember everything. But our last lesson in our Team Kid character traits, and you heard the kids talk about them tonight as they talked about be righteous, be self-controlled, be prayerful, as they gave those different ones. The last one that we will talk about on December 11th when we have our Team Kid Christmas party is we're going to be talking about be giving. And you know, that's really what Christmas is all about. And that's what our puppets learned. Tommy was all about having Christmas presents for himself. But he was able to learn that the real meaning of Christmas was that God gave us a gift. And I want to talk about that gift tonight. Now, some of my fondest memories as a child are related to Christmas. And I remember one Christmas. One thing that my brother and I always tried to do, we would always try to convince my parents to let us open one present on Christmas Eve night. Now, we would have opened them all the day they got under the tree, I think. But our parents would make us wait, make us wait. And so we heard some family somewhere had opened, where their parents let them open one Christmas present on Christmas Eve. And so we would hound my parents to death. And we would say, come on, you got to let us do it. It's tradition. It's tradition, right? Because if it's tradition, I mean, you got to do it, right? So, but my parents would say, I don't know where you heard about that tradition from. But I will remember this one Christmas that there was one box under the tree. Now, how many of you, now be honest, how many of you, if you get a present like that that's wrapped, you can't resist the urge to pick it up, shake it, and try to figure out what's inside of it? How many of you are like me? Or am I by myself? No, you're like that? That's the way I am. I have to shake it. I want to make a guess of what's in it. And I remember I'd go and take inventory. You know, I take inventory every day to see if there were any new Christmas presents under the tree with my name on it. And I remember this Christmas, this one box I was particularly interested in. And I don't know why, but I had it in my mind that one of those presents under the tree was a remote-controlled car. Now, how many boys and girls would like to have a remote-controlled car for Christmas? Yeah, right? So it's still the same today, right? Well, I was convinced, and I'd pick that box up, and it felt heavy, you know what I mean? Like it might have a battery pack in it or something, you know? And it felt heavy, and I'd shake it around. And I was convinced. I knew it. I knew it. I knew that was a remote-controlled car in that package. And I hounded my parents and said, oh, come on, let me open it. You know, it's tradition. Let me open one present on Christmas Eve. And I told my parents that I wanted a remote-controlled car. And my mom and dad would say, Jimmy Ray, you don't. And I probably shouldn't have told you that. That's what my mom calls me. Jimmy Ray, that's my middle name. She would say, Jimmy Ray, you don't need a remote control car because all that's going to do is eat up batteries. That was their response to me, Pastor Eric. I think they didn't want to buy the batteries for the remote control car, right? So anyhow, but I was convinced that even though they had been saying that, you know how parents do. They'll act like they don't want to get it for you, and then they get it for you. I was convinced that that one box that was heavy that I would shake around was a remote controlled car. So I irritated my parents to death. Come on, let me open it on Christmas Eve. Let me open it over, you know. Finally, they gave in. You know, they said, all right, you can open it. Pastor Eric, when I opened that box, it was a picture Bible, a book, a Bible that had, like, it was like for children, you know, and it had, like, all the main Bible stories in comic strip form. Now, I know you're sitting there, and you say, oh, that's a very good gift for you, Pastor Jimmy Westbrook, I'm sure. But I have to tell you, as a child, I was like, a Bible? A Bible? A Bible? I mean, now, I knew better than to say that around my parents because they had taught me, you know, hey, it doesn't matter what the person gives you, you better act thankful about it. So, of course, I knew that much, you know, to fake it. But in my heart, I was disappointed that it was a Bible. But probably the Bible was more helpful to me than a remote control car because look at what I do now, right, Pastor Eric? Anyhow, I had my heart set on that. I do want to tell you, I do remember one Christmas I did get a remote control car, and my parents were right. All it did was eat batteries, right? And we were always trying to find batteries to put in it. But there's anticipation that surrounds a gift. And I remember that very distinctly from my childhood of Christmas. And even today, even this year, when I find Christmas presents under the tree that have my name on it, there's an anticipation about what's in there. Now, I'm sure you've all experienced times when you look at that box, you've got in your imagination what it might be, and then you open it, and you're disappointed. But I want to tell you about a gift tonight that I assure you that you're not going to be disappointed in. It's the greatest gift of all, and it really is why we celebrate Christmas. And I want to talk to you about this gift. And so let's look at John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to talk to you tonight about the gift. And as we look at John chapter 1, these few verses at the beginning of the chapter, I would submit to you that you must receive God's special Christmas gift. You must receive God's Christmas gift. And so let's look at this gift tonight and look at what exactly is involved in this wonderful gift that we celebrate, that God gave the world during Christmas. And I want you to understand tonight that you ought to receive God's special Christmas gift, first of all, because it is a gift of life. It's a gift of life. Look at verse 3 of John chapter 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It indeed is a gift of life. What we celebrate at Christmas is God giving us the gift of life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that word that's used there that speaks of life, it is the word Zoe. That's where we get the word, have you ever been to the zoo in Port of Spain? That's where we get our modern word for the zoo. And if you go to the zoo, you'll find out that everywhere you look, there's life, right? They have all kinds of different animal life. Many zoos are joined with botanical gardens, and there's all kinds of plant life. We call them zoos because there is an abundance of life. And I want you to understand that that is what Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and came to give mankind. We all know John 3:16, that familiar passage located just a couple chapters over from what we're looking at tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gift that Jesus came to give, and it's the greatest gift that a person can have. You ought to accept God's special Christmas gift because, listen, it is a gift of life. And without receiving the gift, there is no life. If you're here tonight and you have not accepted God's special Christmas gift, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then you don't have that gift. You don't have the gift of everlasting life. You ought to receive God's special Christmas gift because it is a gift of life. Not only is it a gift of life, but it is also a gift of light. A gift of light. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And now look at verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in to the world. Not only is it a gift of life, Zoe, and we learn that it's a gift of everlasting life, but it is also a gift of life. You know, apart from Christ, if you're here tonight and you have not received Christ as your Savior, then the Bible describes your condition as being in darkness. The Bible speaks over and over again about the darkness of sin. You know, we don't have to go very far to understand that we have sin within ourselves. If we even just look at the Ten Commandments, we realize that nobody has kept the Ten Commandments. We all have broken the commandments. We've lied. If we haven't committed the actual act, then we certainly have broken God's commandments like Jesus said when he said, you've heard that it's been said not to commit adultery. I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust has committed adultery with her in your heart. See, we know that we've broken them in that respect. He also said that you've heard, thou shalt not murder. But I say to you, whoever is angry without cause has committed murder in their heart. And so we don't have to go very far to understand that we indeed are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are in darkness, and we desperately need God's gift of light. Listen to this illustration. An artist once drew a picture of a winter twilight. The trees were heavily laden with snow, and a dreary dark house, lonely and desolate in the midst of the storm. Can you imagine the painting? Everything's bleak in the dead of winter. The focal point of the painting is a dreary, dark house, lonely and desolate in the middle of a storm. The author says it was a sad picture. But then, with just a quick stroke of yellow, he put a light into one of the windows of the house. He says the effect was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. You know, the birth of Christ, this gift of light that we're talking about tonight, is just like that speck of light in a dark, sin-cursed world. What we celebrate at Christmas gives mankind hope. You say, what kind of hope? Hope that we can get out of the darkness that we're in. If we receive God's gift of salvation, then we indeed can move, even as the book of 1 John says, from darkness into light. It is a gift of life. It is a gift of light. My friend, tonight we need a gift of life because the Bible tells us we're dead in our sins. We're dead in our trespasses. We need the gift of life. And we need it to be a gift of life because the Bible also reveals to us that we are in darkness and we need a Savior. So it's a gift of life. It is a gift of light. But lastly tonight, I want you to understand you ought to receive God's special Christmas gift because it is a gift of love. It is a gift of love. I want you to think about what is said here in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, but nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to think about what Jesus did. Now we learn from this passage that Jesus indeed was from the beginning. It says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This passage teaches us that Jesus was very God in the flesh. Verse 14 explains to us the Word, who is Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now I want you to think just for a moment what that meant for Jesus. He was God, and yet he left all the wonders of heaven. He left all the splendors that were there, and he stepped out of heaven to come to this earth. Why? So that he could be scorned, so that he could be turned away by those people, those very people who he was trying to help. Think about the great gulf. Think about the great distance that God spanned in coming out of heaven and stepping foot on earth. Think about what a great distance there is in verse 14 when it speaks of the Word was made flesh. My friend, the only thing that could make God leave all of the wonders and glories of heaven and to step down into humanity, the only thing that would cause him to do that for you is his great love. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But listen to what verse 4 says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made alive us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You know, yes indeed, it's a gift of life. And we need that gift of life because we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It's a gift of life because apart from God, apart from that special Christmas gift, we all sit in the darkness of our sins, and we need that light in our lives. But primarily, my friend, it is a gift of love. The love of God given to us. Think about this story that's told. A little African boy listened carefully as the teacher explained why it is that Christians give presents to each other on Christmas Day. The teacher told the little African boy, the gift is an expression of our joy over the birth of Jesus and our friendship for each other. Well, when Christmas Day came, the boy brought to the teacher a seashell of enormous beauty. She looked at it and said, where did you ever find such a beautiful shell? The youth told her that there was only one spot where such an extraordinary shell could be found. When he named the place of the spot, it was a certain bay several miles away, the teacher was left speechless. Why, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful. She said, but you shouldn't have gone all the way to get that gift from me. That's a long way. The boy's eyes brightened as he looked into the teacher's eyes and said, long walk. Part of gift. The long walk was part of the gift. And I want you tonight to think about just how much God loves you. That he would step out of heaven. That he would allow himself to be placed in a woman's womb. That he would go through that birth process. And that he wouldn't come into a nice hospital, but that he would be laid in a manger. And that he would grow up as a child. And that he would become a man. Knowing that the sole reason he had gone through all of that was so that he could take that cross up Calvary's hill so that he could pay for your sins and my sins. My friend, what a long walk Jesus made to give us God's special Christmas gift. Now, what would you think if that teacher that day, that boy brought the shell up? What if she looked at that and said, I don't want that stupid shell. You think I need a shell? I got money. I can buy shells. I can have shells imported. I don't want that shell. You say, Pastor Jimmy, that would be horrible to reject such a gift. That boy poured his heart into walking that long distance to give her the gift. My friend, is it any different when we reject Christ's great gift that He came all the way from heaven to give to us? My friend, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted God's gift of salvation, I beg with you, I plead with you tonight, come to Him and receive that gift of life. Receive that gift of light. Receive that gift of love.